kindergartners, 9 kindergartners graduating this evening. And so before they get in here, we're going to open with a word of prayer. So if you'll please bow your heads for prayer tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time these kindergartners, their parents and family that are here with them to celebrate this special night. I do pray that you'd bless them as they get ready for their presentation. I'm sure nervous. Lord, I pray that you just bless them, calm those nerves. God, maybe a wonderful time. Help our church. I think of Miss Stina. She just had surgery. God, put your hand of healing on her. I pray that you just bless others as well that have gone recently through surgery. Be with all that's done tonight. May be glorifying and honoring to you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight we're going to hear from the kindergartners.
Special delivery. Here they come. The best and the brightest from Faith Baptist Academy, representing the top package delivery services in the USA today. Let's meet the team. First up, we have Deadline Destroyer Brady. Up second, we have On Time Oliver. Up next, we have Efficient Blake. The first lady of the group, we have Just in Time Janessa. On deck, we have Speedy Charlene. Next in line, we have Lightning Quick Leo. Up to bat, we have Punctual April. Next, we have Fast Steppin' Charlotte. And last but not least, we have Zoomin' Claire.
Texas?
No, the other pledges.
Ah.
special delivery.
What is a special delivery?
Any blessing that God sends us.
God sends us many special things every day.
We should thank you for each and every delivery.
Each of us has a special prize to share, too.
Let's start an aura of the alphabet. You know all about that.
First comes April. That starts with the letter A.
What's in your package?
Wow! A Bible!
The Bible is God's word. Every word is true.
Yeah. packages all year long.
There are 365 days in a week.
And 52 weeks.
What's 7 days in each week?
At 6 a.m. we load our trucks.
At 7 a.m. we leave.
And at 10 a.m. we take a coffee and dinner break.
Yum, yum!
At 12 p.m. we eat lunch.
At 1 p.m. we're back on the route.
And at 5:30 p.m. we clock out.
Let's count our packages. With addition, we add the boxes together and the number becomes bigger.
1 plus 1 equals 2.
2 plus 3 equals 4.
3 plus 2 equals 5.
4 plus 3 equals 7.
5 plus 5 is 10.
In subtraction, we take the boxes away and the number becomes smaller.
10 minus 5 equals 5.
7 minus 3 equals 4.
5 minus 2 equals 3.
4 minus 2 equals 2.
1 minus 1 equals 0.
We use counting, addition, and subtraction all day when we deliver our packages.
We've enjoyed opening our special packages of knowledge for you.
But our time is almost up.
And we still haven't told you the most special delivery of all.
What is the most special delivery of all?
And who sent it?
God sent the most special delivery of all, His Son, Jesus Christ.
He died on the cross to pay for our sins.
And there are us at death and hell.
If you ask Him to forgive you of your sin,
trust in Him.
And ask Him to come into your heart.
He will save your soul,
and He will deliver you from hell.
This is God's free gift, the salvation.
And it is the most special delivery of all.
possible.
Where are we going?
First grade!
Well, stand, grab our hymnals, turn to page 180, 180. When the roll is called up yonder, we'll sing a verse, have a quick moment to shake hands in fellowship, come back and sing that last verse. Page 180, when the roll is called up yonder, 180.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Take a moment and greet one another. Let's sing that third verse, page 180. Let us labor for the Master.
Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Much.
Good job, young people. That was excellent. That's a lot of memorization for that age right there. But you did a great job, and it sounded just about like it has for the last 4 weeks as we've heard you practicing over in the offices over here. And here we come, first grade, and the teacher passed out in the pew just a moment ago, amen. So the first grade teacher's got a lot to look forward to. So, hey, if you want to help the school, the offering tonight, now if you have church money that is designated, make sure that gets in an envelope. Anything that's not marked designated for the general missions or building, we're just going to give to the academy tonight. And I appreciate our school. I'm glad we have a school. Don't apologize for the emphasis on God's word at all. And that's what it's all about. So let's pray for the offering, okay? Father, my heart's blessed tonight to hear these young people quote the scripture and, of course, all the other numbers and letters and so forth, days of the week and seasons and everything that, Lord, we heard tonight. Thank you for the effort that's been put into that this year. And thank you for each one of these little lives and for their families. Thank you for the privilege of having a school here at Faith Baptist, and I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to keep it on the right track, help it to honor and please you always. And Lord, bless the rest of this service. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
We congratulated the 9 kindergarten graduates tonight, but we'd also like to congratulate their families for coming with us. And so just to acknowledge them, if we could ask if the parents, if you're a mom or dad of the graduates here tonight, instead of taking one since there's 9, if you could all just please stand, just like to acknowledge those that are parents of graduates tonight. Give them all, please, a round of applause, if you would. If you'll remain standing. If you're also here tonight and you are family, part of one of the graduates, if you are here on their behalf, if you also would stand this evening as well. All across the auditorium, yes, in the back as well. Thank you so much for coming. Congratulations as well this evening to you all. And one behind. Well, I sure have enjoyed this year with the 9 of them just passing by the classroom and hearing, yes, not just for 4 weeks, but for many months, the practice that has gone in over there. It echoes to my office, so I often hear exactly what is going on in the kindergarten class. And we have a first-year teacher in Miss Bethrin, and she has done a fantastic job with the group of kids. You never know when it's coming in, you know, parents, that is, of how it's going to go. And you begin, as the school year starts, and they're very kind of trepidatious. They don't know what is going to happen. And then after a couple weeks, you see them immediately gravitate to their teacher, and they run to see her. And then when they're in church, they run over to see her there. And she's had a great impact on them this year. And so I just want to say thank you to their teacher. Thank you so much, Miss Beth. She has had some help, as you saw tonight as well. There's been a couple other ladies that have been in the classroom with her, and those are Miss Liz Barajas. She has been helping this year in the kindergarten classes you saw tonight, as well as Miss Kim Gray. She's in the back there. And then, of course, Mindy as well. Her daughter has been here helping. She's been teaching the classroom with a granddaughter as well in her class. And so she has made adjustments with having one of her own, if you will, but has done a wonderful job. So this time, Miss Beth, if you'd come up here, she has something that she'd like to say to each one of you graduates tonight. So if you'll come right up.
This is such an exciting night. First of all, I just wanted to say congratulations to all the kindergartners. And you did such a wonderful job tonight. I'm really proud of you. You made it through kindergarten. And I want to say to the parents, congratulations for making it through kindergarten with them. I also want to say thank you for entrusting me with your most precious treasure. I did not take it lightly. Nothing is more precious to you than your children, and they were a joy to be with every day. Of course, I wanted to teach them to read and to write and to count and to add and subtract, and we learned history and science. We memorized poems, and we colored, and we learned many different things this year. And it was so exciting to watch them learn and grow and mature. But I wanted them to know that everything they learned was so they could serve the Lord better. Yeah. I wanted them to learn to read so they could read their Bible. I wanted them to learn about science so they could better understand how great and big our God is. Yeah. I wanted them to learn history so they could so they would know that our country was founded on God's word. The high school lockers are right outside of our classroom. And I told them several times throughout the year that when they got to be high schoolers and they were at those lockers, I wanted them to love the Lord just as much then as they do now. I want them to sing out just as loud, and I want them to serve the Lord with their life. I've grown to love them, and I will miss them so much. Each of them were very special in their own way. I'm going to talk to Brady right now. Brady, you are a leader. I loved listening to you at recess saying, guys, this is what we're going to do. You are very good at math. Maybe you can take Dad's job over someday. And you also have a tender heart, and you feel deeply, and I know that the Lord's going to use you. And Oliver, you give 110% in all that you do. You were usually the first one done with your work. You played hard at recess. You are all boy, and I love to listen to you read. Blake, you are kind and helpful. You were also the singer for our class. You are always right on key. I can't wait for you to use your talent for the Lord. You also have a math mind. Janessa, you are a quick learner. I love getting to know you. You are a girly girl, and I love that. I learned that you love purses and that you have a lot of them. I loved hearing you read during reading circle. You are an excellent reader. Charlene, you are a perfectionist. You wanted to do everything just right. You are a lot of fun. You are also an excellent reader. I love your excitement for life. Leo, everyone says that you're shy. But I learned that you love to talk about science. I loved hearing all of your science facts. I also learned that if you came up and stood beside me for a while, that meant you wanted to ask me a question. You are quiet, but you're always thinking, and I will miss you. April, I will miss your knock-knock jokes. And all of your stories that you have to tell me. You are always so sweet. You have a helpful spirit and a good attitude. You are always pleasant to be around. You excelled in all of your subjects. Charlotte, you were definitely the peacemaker of the class. You never wanted anyone to be sad. If someone was having a hard time, you would always be there with comforting words. You are also an excellent reader. Claire, you are competitive. You have beautiful handwriting, and you loved being the line leader. And not the caboose. You also made us laugh every day. Of course, you are special to me, and I love you very much. I can say the Lord blessed me this year. All nine of these children have lots of different personalities and different strengths, but they were all a blessing to my heart. I know they will do good in first grade. And lastly, I just wanted to say thank you to Mrs. Barajas and Mrs. Gray. I am so grateful to you both for all the help and kindness that you showed to me and the class. The kindergartners adore you, and so do I.
That's great. Very good. Will the kindergarten graduates please stand? Brady Edmund Angel. Oliver John Chapman. Blake Daniel Hansen. Janessa Herrera. Sherlyn Lopez. Leonel Caleb Rodriguez. We did try to work on this. April Natalia Sanchez. Charlotte Alice Sharp. Claire Melinda Temple. It's with great honor I present the 2023 graduating class, the kindergartners. You may move your tassels. They're going to stand up here for a while, apparently, but picture time. Very good. Just before the message, we're going to have the elementary choir singing. So if they'll make their way up, they're singing God Saves Old Sinners.
Thank you.
All right, very good. I've enjoyed the night. If you have a Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and it will not be a full-length message tonight, but I do want to take a little time and look at some verses here from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And again, I sure appreciate the effort that these ladies have put into these young people throughout the year, and they are a good bunch, and appreciate you parents. You end up paying for education twice. You pay for the public school system through your taxes, property taxes, and so forth, and then you have tuition bills here, but I hope you feel like it's been a worthy investment of the money that you put toward their education, and it's all just starting tonight. Tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, the elementary school will put on a play that was written by one of our elementary teachers, Miss Faith Capps, and then they'll have their awards ceremony, and then tomorrow night, our junior, senior high school have their awards banquet, and then on Friday night, graduation for our seniors here at 7 p.m. So you're certainly welcome to be back for those special events. Chapter 12 in the book of Ecclesiastes, I want you to look with me at verse number 10, okay? So we're almost to the end of the book here. The Bible says, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Notice what he said in verse 11, the words of the wise are like, they are like goads and they are like nails, goads and nails. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that subject tonight. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll bless our time as we look for a few moments into your word. Lord, I thank you again for this very special evening, for each family represented here tonight that has a graduate earning their kindergarten diploma. We thank you for every effort put forth this year to teach these young people. Now, Lord, I pray that they'll retain it and use it someday for your honor and glory. Help me tonight in these moments. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Solomon is the human pen of the book of Ecclesiastes. He is older in life. From his pen, we actually got three books in the Bible. Somebody said that he was young. He wrote the Song of Solomon when he was midlife and had children at home. He wrote the book of Proverbs, and then when he got to the end of his life, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. So he's older in life now, looking back over his years as the king of Israel. He has learned much wisdom personally, and the Bible says that he sought out wisdom as well. In verse number 9, we didn't read that a moment ago, but he mentions the word Proverbs there at the end of the verse. He sought out and set in order many proverbs. A proverb is a wise saying. And he wrote many of them. He was responsible for over 3,000 of these wise sayings or proverbs. The Bible says he sought them out and he set in order many more. And really, folks, there was no one better situated to speak about wisdom than Solomon, because he was the wisest man. God gave Solomon more wisdom than he gave to any other man on planet Earth. Everybody came to Solomon for wisdom. And then we got to verse number 10. He sought out words and teachings that would help the people. He desired to bring words that taught uprightness and truth. And I love this aspect of Solomon. His heart was burdened for his people to know truth, burdened for his people to know wisdom. It was important to him, so much so that he put time and effort and energy into accumulating these words of wisdom and truth. And the truth of the matter is, every pastor should carry such a burden for the people who God has placed in his spiritual care. Pastors are appointed to, as said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, watch for your souls. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Pastors are to watch for the souls of those that are placed in their care at the church. And I'll tell you something, there's no greater watch that can be done for a member of a church than giving you truth and wisdom out of this book right here. That's the greatest thing that can help you, folks. And then pastors are also called to, as said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. So pastors should study the word of God to learn acceptable words, even words of truth. to teach the people wisdom and knowledge that will help them live a life pleasing to God. It is God's word that changes lives. And I want to tell you, it is enough to help anyone. And you talk about a chaotic day and a confusing age in which we are living. And this book has all that you need to give you a life worth something. A life worth living that has substance to it, okay? It can help anyone who will take what it teaches and by faith live by it. And again, we make no apology for making that the emphasis of our school. The emphasis of our school is math taught according to God's word, and history taught according to God's word, and science taught according to God's word. I'll tell you what, we got a lot of science being talked about in our nation today that is absolutely built. It's creating chaos. It's creating conflict. Suicide's at an all-time high. Even young people. I'll tell you why. They're not being given any truth. Not being given any wisdom. This book right here has everything that these nine young ladies and men down here, everything they need to make a life worth living. This book has it right here. Verse number 11, I want to talk about this verse. This is an interesting verse. We'll look at it for a few minutes. It's a verse about wise words, the words of the wise. I asked three questions tonight about this. Number one, what are wise words like? Well, the scripture says the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened. Now let's look at that. The words of wisdom will be like two different instruments. They'll be as goads and as nails. Now you know what a goad is. A goad is a stick. It's used as a prod. Some of you folks that have grown up around farms will talk about the animal prod, that the cattle prod, and they use the prod to get the cattle moving into the trailers, and they get the pigs moving into the trailers. And probably in Bible days, it was just a long stick with a sharp point. Now they have those battery things, you know, a little bit of electric current, and when those cows don't move, and they decide to move. When the pigs don't move, they move. I was at a boys' home, many of you know that, where I got saved. And we had a fellow that came out of prison to the boys' home. His name was Gus. And he was a pretty cocky fella. And it was time to get up in the morning. And, I was a cabin leader by this time. And I said, everybody get up. There was like four of us in the room, the cabin together. Gus just rolled over, pulled the covers over his head, stayed in bed. So we all had chores to do. So I went out and did my chores. And then we would meet in the dining hall for breakfast. And I got my chores done, went to the dining hall. Brother Mike was in there cooking bacon and eggs. And he said, where's the new guy? I said, he's still in bed. He said, did you try to get him up? I said, yeah, I tried to get him up. He just rolled over and put the covers over his head. He said, here, watch this bacon. He got in his 1964 Chevrolet pickup truck and drove it back to the cabin where Gus was still in bed asleep with a little sheet over his body. And he pulled that back of that seat forward like you do in a pickup truck, and he got the cattle prod. And he went into the cabin, and he said, Gus, time to get up. Get up. Gus didn't move. He said, Gus, get up. He didn't move. Zzz, Gus got up. Amen. And he got up real quick, too. And I would imagine anytime anybody since has said get up, he's moved, okay? But that's what a goad, okay? It gets things moving. Wise words are words of encouragement to get busy, to get moving, to make progress, to get where you need to go. And I'm sure a lot of these kids, some of these things that they said tonight, they had already learned at home through good parents that teach and are involved in their life. But I will tell you, you kids learned a lot this year. And that's because you had wise words coming from a teacher. They teach you what you need to know. Wise words don't allow for quitting ahead of the finish line. Wise words encourage a person to work hard to achieve in life. Wise words put a desire within a person to be a contributor to the family, to the church, to society. Wise words do not encourage a person to be satisfied with below average effort. Wise words are used as a goad, as a prod, to challenge the C student to become a B student, to challenge the B student to become an A student. Wise words never give a student a crutch to lean on with a spirit or attitude of I can't. I can't. Wise words create a burning desire in the heart of a person to accomplish the will of God for their life. And the Bible says the wise words of this book right here are as goads to prod us, to push us, to move us forward, to challenge us, to excel in life, to do our best. I remember C.W. Fisk saying over and over again when I was in school up there, good, better, best, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. And that's wise words. Wise words are as goads, as a prod to push us forward. But then he also said wise words are as nails. What's a nail used for? A nail is used to fasten or hold something in place, to build. Nails are used by builders. They come in all sizes and shapes depending on the scope of the project. The Bible says wise words are like nails. They fasten truth into a person's life. How many times have we used or heard the words, nail it down, get it nailed down? See, folks, look, there's no reason for people to drift unanchored through life, confused about direction, chaotic in decision making, confused about their gender. No, there's no reason to go through life like that. The truth of God's word helps us fasten ourselves to truth, to a pattern of living that will benefit us and benefit those we love and those we influence. Wise words are words that have substance and can fasten principles in our hearts and our minds that will influence our decision making. Wise words are helpful at any age in life, but they are particularly helpful and important for the young. For the young who are being introduced to truth, introduced to those wise words that are like nails, and hopefully they receive those words and they receive that truth and they use them to nail down the path of life that God wants them to walk in. So wise words are a benefit. Wise words are a great blessing. They're a prod to move us forward, to keep us moving. They're like nails to make sure we move forward with the same ideals and values that are found in the Word of God. Goads and nails keep moving but remain unchanged, and especially within the culture that we are now experiencing in our country, especially right now. So what are wise words like? They are like goads and they are like nails. They push us forward and they help us nail down a path of life. Then I want to ask this question tonight, number two. From whom do we learn wise words? From whom do we learn wise words? Look at what he said in verse number 11. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. I like those words. In some passages, the Bible uses the word master in relation to a teacher. The masters or teachers are our teachers or masters over assemblies. What's an assembly? An assembly is a gathering of people. So these masters are teaching wise words to assemblies of people. There are many, or there should be, many masters in this room. We have many parents who are masters of assemblies. You say, what do you mean? These parents teach their children wise words at home. As they have Bible time, family altar, as they sit down around the kitchen table with their kids and open this book and read Bible verses and talk about Bible stories and memorize together the words of this book. You know what you parents are? You're masters of assemblies. You don't have to have 150, 200 people, 250, 300 people to have an assembly. You can have an assembly at your kitchen table. You can have an assembly in your living room. You can have an assembly in your family room, parents. You're a master of assemblies there where you can teach your children the wise words of the Scripture. We have teachers who are masters of assemblies who teach children on Sunday, all the way up from toddler Sunday school at the age of 2. Back there, they are learning Scripture through songs and simple Bible stories, because we have masters of assemblies in the two-year-old Sunday school and the three, four, and five-year-old Sunday school and the first through third grade Sunday school and fourth through sixth grade Sunday school, and just over and over. Say, what are you trying to do? Brainwash them? I'd rather brainwash them than this, than brainwash them with what they see on television. I'd rather brainwash them with it, with truth, than something they see on the internet that confuses them about their gender. This is what they need, folks. We make no apology for it. It's Bible, 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 Bible. That's where the wise words come from. And the masters of assemblies. We have masters of assemblies here Monday through Friday in the school and at other special occasions during the year. No matter the age, no matter the gender, no matter how many, no matter how often, anytime children are gathered with a teacher, be it a parent, a Sunday school teacher, a grade school teacher, a high school or junior high school teacher, anytime there's an assembly of kids with a teacher, a master of that assembly, there can be a transfer of wisdom, a transfer of wisdom. And you know, I know sometimes the question for the masters, the teachers, the question is, am I doing any good? Am I doing any good? When I sit around the table with my children, I read the Bible or I tell a Bible story, and sometimes they're paying attention and sometimes they're not. And sometimes in two-year-old Sunday school or primary church, I wonder if they're paying any attention. Are they getting any? Am I doing any good? Or is teaching children a waste of time? Is teaching these children having any kind of impact on their lives? I want to remind you of what Paul told Timothy, that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make him wise unto salvation. He knew that from a child. Yes, yes, you're making an impact. We have to go back to what God said. He said the wise words would be used as goads. He said the wise words would be used as nails in the lives of those who are taught. And no matter, teacher, what you may feel like, parent, what you may feel like, nothing's happening, they're not getting this, just have faith in what God said the wise words of this book would do, and be faithful and be consistent to give and feed your kids the wise words of God's word right here. Parents, teachers, anyone else presiding over an assembly of kids, please know that the wise words you are teaching are not in vain. Somewhere down the path of life, something taught will come back. It will goad the young person. It will move them on. It will encourage them to keep going. So the wise words they are taught will be used as nails to fasten truth to their hearts, and they'll be guided by those truths through difficult times in their life, because those truths were fastened down in them when they were young. When they were young. When they were young. You know what grieves me? What grieves me? We run these buses around this area, and we pick up dozens and dozens of young children and bring them here, and the only exposure to Bible truth they get is for that 45 minutes to an hour on Sunday morning. It's all they get. But I want to say to those of you masters of assemblies who are in those Sunday school classes, sometimes that's all it takes. Just a little bit of God's word is like dynamite in the heart. The Holy Spirit can use it. How many testimonies could be given by adults remembering something they were taught, and at just the critical time, the words of truth came back and prodded them to keep going, the things that they learned when they were young. I was thinking about how many different assemblies the children of this church and school are parts of through their childhood years. These graduates here tonight, these nine kids, they're just getting started in the years of academic instruction. But I will tell you something. Some of them have already had hours and hours at home and at church and at school where they've been taught from the Word of God. I've talked about it already, toddler nursery, elementary Sunday school, King's Kids, camp, chapel, VBS, church services, revivals, FBA Bible class, primary church, youth conferences, missions conferences, not to mention what happens at home, what they are taught. can be used as a goad to prod them on, as a nail to fasten them in the right and truthful way. You can't make a child learn truth. At some point, the child has to decide for himself or herself that truth is important and receive it. But I want to tell you something. Just the constant and consistent teaching of the Word of God over and 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 over. What an impact it can have on the life of a child. The life of a child. So what are wise words like? They're like goads. They're like nails. From whom do we learn wise words? Well, the Bible says we learn them from masters of assemblies. And then let me ask the last question tonight. Who is the source of these wise words? Who is the source? You say, well, the parent, the teacher in the Sunday school class. No, we're just the conduit. Look at the end of verse number 11. Which are given from one shepherd. From one shepherd. Hey, the wise words taught in Sunday school, the wise words taught around the table at the house or in the family room, the wise words taught in the school classroom are not the whims and opinions of people. The wise words are given from one shepherd. The words of righteousness and truth that are like goads and nails are words given from one shepherd. If the words are from the Bible, that one shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. The wisest words of the best of men are words from men at best. That's all it can be, folks. If the man is the source of those words of wisdom, all it can be is the men at best. That's it. But the words that will everlastingly encourage these kids and fasten them in the right way are words from the Lord who is our shepherd, who has given us a book of words that we have the privilege and opportunity to take and teach to little minds and hearts like the one sitting on this front row tonight. I don't know about you, but that is a wonderful privilege to invest. I don't know what you think. I think that's to invest in the lives and hearts of little bitty kids and even elementary and older. So masters and teachers, keep teaching wise words that are like goads and nails. Just make sure you get them from the one shepherd you can trust, the Lord Jesus Christ. The wisest words, we heard it tonight from these children, the wisest words that could ever be spoken to anybody are words that tell of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's through his death, burial, and resurrection that every soul in this room can be saved. Have your sins forgiven. A home reserved in heaven. No danger of hellfire. No danger. The words of this book teach us about the gospel. And we need the gospel because every person born into this world is born with a sin nature. And by nature we disobey God. We've broken his commandments over and over and over again. And we deserve the penalty that goes with sin, which is separation from God forever in the place called hell. But the wise words of this book tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd who came to give his life on the cross of Calvary, was buried, rose again to make salvation possible to anybody who will receive him. Not get baptized, not join a church, not turn over a new leaf, not try to do better. Trust Christ. Trust Christ, because the Lord Jesus told Thomas, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the wisest words you'll ever hear. Trust Jesus Christ and be saved. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Father, I thank you again for this class of kindergarten kids and all that's gone into their teaching and learning this year, and their families, parents, grandparents, and relatives here tonight. And I thank you for the privilege to teach them wise words. Words of wisdom from the book of wisdom, your book. I pray that the parents of these children and those in elementary and those throughout the church membership will be faithful and consistent at home to be masters of assemblies. And I pray that you'll help us here at the church and school to stay on the right track of teaching the Word of God, those wise words that can be like goads and nails in the hearts of all of our youth. And Father, thank you for sending the Lord Jesus to go to Calvary's cross to die for us, to pay our sin debt so that we could be saved. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and I just want to say tonight that if you're not sure that heaven is your home, maybe you came tonight just as a friend or a relative for a kindergarten graduate, and you've listened carefully to the message. Maybe you don't know where you will go when you leave this world. Do you know where you'll spend eternity when you die? Will it be heaven or hell? If you don't know, the way to know is through faith in Jesus Christ. Trust Him as your Savior. From your heart tonight, if you're sincere, you can say a simple prayer. Confess to God that you're a sinner. Tell Him that. Tell Him you believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And just tell God that you want to receive His Son by faith into your life to be your Savior. I urge you tonight, if you've never trusted Jesus, turn to Him now. While the Spirit of God's working on your heart, and be saved. And if you did tonight, when I pray in just a minute, if you pray a prayer in your heart, you come see myself or Brother Bragg or somebody here tonight, one of the family members, and tell them that you prayed to receive Christ as your Savior. Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege of having this service tonight for all these who've come out. I do pray that you'll bless these young people that have graduated from kindergarten. They have a lot of education in front of them. And I pray, Lord, that it will always be Christ-centered. And the words of wisdom that they are taught will be centered in the wisdom of your word. And I pray tonight, Lord, if there's one person here, a relative, a friend, a family member, a church member, who's never been saved, Lord, would you please reach down to that heart tonight and draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. May they trust in Him as their Savior, is my prayer. Thank you for the privilege of meeting here this evening. I pray that you'll give us a good tomorrow and Friday as we celebrate the end of the school year with the older students.